And in doing so,
call the Board of Correction meeting in order. Stand up and join the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Come on, guys. Call roll, please, Jerry.
Tony?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Everybody's here. Okay, a current copy of the Open Meeting Act is posted on the west wall near to the entrance of the county board meeting room and is available for review by all citizens in attendance. Consent agenda items. Approval of the previous minutes, March 2nd, 2015.
I'll make that motion.
Say, we got a Board of Corrections first.
That's what I said, Board of Corrections.
Okay.
I'll second it.
Yeah. Sorry, Rick.
No, that's all right. I didn't hear you.
Yeah, sorry. Moved by Commissioner Rudy and seconded by Love. Roll call, please.
Scott?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes. Motion carried. New business. Terry, your report.
Okay, for the month of March, we had... He announced a total of 90 inmates, 82 of them were in the county. Our jail population, this is warm weather, so March we started the upward climb. For the calendar year, we averaged about 75 county inmates. And for the fiscal year, we're at about 85. Our monthly income was for federal inmates and was $16,623. Brings our fiscal to 178,152 and a calendar to 45,513. And our per diem cost fell to 56.95. We were well under budget, about 26% or 55,000 in that month, which puts us at 85,000 under for the fiscal year. But we got June coming up, and that's going to be three paydays. May will be three paydays. Our March bookings were 119. That's up a little bit. I had a phone call on the last day of March from the sheriff of Burt County, and I think I emailed my response to his letter.
Did they build a new jail?
No, Burt County has been contracting with Blair.
Okay.
And Blair, I looked at Blair to see how big these places were before I called anybody back. Blair is in Washington County, and it's in the Omaha metropolitan reporting area. So I thought, okay, that might explain something here. So when I called him back, I said, what's the issue? He says, jail standards is having an issue with Washington County, and I think it's overcrowding. How many people are in there? Well, if they're in the Omaha metropolitan area, they've probably got some issues. He said, you have to get your people out of here by June 1st.
They got some overflow.
They got overflow, I think, is what the issue is that they can't take anybody else because they got too many of their own people. So they said, our response to this is going to be to get everybody out of here, so June 1st you have to get your prisoners out. And he says, I can't imagine where $100,000 to $125,000 a year isn't going to hurt them, but they want them out.
So Washington County, which is Blair, how many, roughly, inmates do they?
Well, I figure if his figure of $100,000 to $125,000 at $55 a day, which is what he's paying them, would come out to about an average of six a day. So apparently that six a day is pushing them over the limit. So I said, well, yeah, we'll take 100,000, sure.
You know what they're paying Washington County or
not? Five, same thing.
Same thing. Okay.
Yeah.
But and I thought, and I first looked at that number too, I'm sitting there thinking, well, hell, sometimes their per diem cost is more than that. But they're gonna pay for all their medical
and
transporting.
Yeah.
So
okay. So I think that'll be an interest. It'll help in the fourth quarter, probably late in the fourth quarter, but it should be of some help. We took $64,000, almost $64,000 even money in the third quarter, all sources. That brings our total revenue for the fiscal year to better than $250,358,315.99.
this quote of the report from January 1st to the March 31st, is the way it is?
Yes. We have one quarter left to go.
It's your for the fiscal year.
Mm-hmm. So, refresh my memory. We can hold 135 tops, 132, 100.
No, I think we can hold 136.
Okay, I knew it was somewhere right around there. So, depend upon how our summer months go.
Right.
But do they like air conditioning, right?
They like to come.
Any more questions?
Thurston County is talking about building a new jail. Have they ever contacted you or anything?
Thurston County has been talking about building a new jail. They came up here to look at our facility, their board commissioners. They had an architectural firm engaged, and it fell through. And they came back up here again, and then it fell through. I don't know that it's going to happen. I think there's an issue with the bond.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody in Thurston County is overly anxious to pass that bond issue.
I know they've been having some public meetings again,
right.
So there must be a...
This is a process of public meeting, consultantship, you know, on down the line, right up to the altar, and then I don't want to get married. Back we go again, right?
Okay.
And this goes on four or five times, and I think it's the holdup is always the bond. Nobody wants the bond.
Yeah, I talked to them down a few people at the sale barn, and they said 38 beds. Is that right?
Well, that's what they.
That's what they're shooting for. 38 beds.
Well, didn't go.
Ain't much.
Eventually, they're probably going to be told, "Look, it's a little antique here, and it's no longer safe to house people, and make them do something." We at the stance now, if they have a disciplinary problem, or they have somebody that. Would be difficult to hold, and to hold their inmate for them.
We don't have an agreement with them, do we?
No, they bring them up here $55 a day, and
okay.
This is going to be, we're going to be getting people on a regular basis,
yeah.
But with them as it is right now, it's catch can. Now, looking at the miscellaneous income for this fiscal year, $3,000 of the $3,700
mm-hmm.
came from Burke County.
Really?
That's just for people to be housed on that same type of informal basis.
Okay.
So we're going to be doing business, larger business, with people we've already done business with.
Before.
Okay. Yes.
Good.
Okay. That's good news.
That'll all help.
Sure. Any more questions for Terry? Okay. Terry, that's a good report. Looks like you're doing great, so keep it up to good work.
Thanks, Terry.
Thank you, Terry.
All right. Good luck. Thanks.
Correction committee reports. I don't think there's any. Mail and emergency business. Any public comments? Anybody on the public like to comment on the jail report? Listen, meeting adjourned. Now we're going to move to the Board of Commissioner meeting. Can you roll call for roll, please, Jerry?
Tony?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
All right. A current copy of the Open Meeting Act is posted on the west wall near to the entrance of the county board meeting room and is available by review by all citizens in attendance. Item number one, consent agenda items. Approve the previous minutes on March 30, 2015. Approve the payroll claims. Approve the accounts payable claims if it's applied. I went to the payroll myself, and nothing wrong with that. We signed everything, and everything is under control, so everything is okay. So I need a motion to approve the consent agenda items.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Commissioner Busquets, second by McNair. Roll call, please.
Scott?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes. Motion carried. New business. Under A, Saul Gomez asking board approval of the special designated liquor license permit for rodeo events held in Old Crystal Lake Park for the following days in 2015, May 24th, September 6th, and September 20th, with five open dates. Saul, please come front and say your name for the record.
Hi, Saul Gomez, on behalf of Gomez Rodeo. Just like I said, I'm here to ask for liquor permits for those three dates, May 24th, September 6th, and September 20th, and five open dates.
I know in the past you've always engaged with off-duty deputies. Will you be doing that again?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Good.
Then, can I say something? If you don't have a letter from the sheriff's department to the liquor commission in Lincoln, they don't issue a license.
Oh, don't they?
Okay. Oh, no. Definitely.
All right. I think it's a good community event, and we haven't had any issues with that out there at all. So I'll make a motion to approve those dates for the liquor license for Gomez.
Second.
Moved by Commissioner Busquet and second by Commissioner Rudy to approve those dates for the liquor license for Gomez Rodeo. Need a call roll, please.
Rick?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes. Oh, excuse me. Abstain. I'm sorry. Abstain.
Scott?
Yes.
All right. Good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Just a comment to you folks that one of the events that we do for the church at St. Michael's every year, we raise $7,200 last year. So every penny went to St. Michael's for the school fund.
Great.
So, okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for your support.
All right.
Item B. Oh, we send the motion.
Tony?
Yes.
Before we go into this, item B, and get started, I want to kind of explain what's going on out there. And then I want to give a little bit of history of who are the owners of the properties in the past and the use of the road. Mm-hmm. And the issue we're having out there is we've got Dixon Path, and then we've got a spur of Dixon Path. And it all boils down to a 911 issue on addresses. So it's come about that there's a certain owner out there that believes he owns the road and that it was a private road. Well, in the past, the owners of the parcel of property that's adjacent to the west of that road was owned by Ralph and Margaret Muff. And they owned it from back in the 60s. All the way up to when it was sold to Vince Cavanaugh, and he went in there and put a bunch of infrastructure in, and it was a trailer park that never really flourished, and I think there was some issues there, but Vince Cavanaugh owned it. And then Vince Cavanaugh sold it to Barney Glass, and Barney Glass, you know, all the issues they had out there with the trailer park and with the city and them not paying their water bill. So he was the third owner of that. Well, then South Sioux City, being they had a big water and a money lien against that property, ended up with it. And that's when they hired Todd Masters to go in there, clean all the trailers up, junk them all out, and so forth. And then I don't know the total circumstances, but they did a swap. And I think Marty Johnson ended up with the far west end of it, and Todd Masters ended up with the east end of that property. But Margaret and Ralph Muff used that road back when the horse and buggies were there, and that's where their home was.
Sure.
The county has always maintained graveled rock. The O'Dells have called us, and Fred can verify this, that they wanted rock on that road, and we've done that. Terry Muff has contacted me, and I'm a tenant. I rent his farm ground, and he would like this resolved because he don't want to lose ownership of that road. He wants access. He's always had access, and he don't want that to be an issue. So that being said, Scott and I are kind of in a situation where we really can't vote on it, so we're probably going to abstain on that issue. I believe that we need to make it so everyone out there has access to that road, and that's all I can say. But and that would resolve the issue for the sheriff, because if we rename the road to North Dixon Path, then we can have a different identity to that road, so that if there's a fire call to John O'Dell's, they can say it's North Dixon Path, or if the Muffs, they already have a building there. If Muffs have it, then they can dispatch to that. We can also give them 423 North Dixon Path as a number. Tammy and Kurt Bailey can have North Dixon or Dixon Road, 423 Dixon Road, as their address. Problem seems to be solved that way. But now it's up to the commissioners whether they want to adopt this as a county road. We've maintained it for 100 years.
Well, I think we have no choice. I mean, you're gonna see people landlocked, aren't you?
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering.
Yes.
Well, I mean, we have to.
But that's where Scott and I are going to, you know, we're not going to make a vote on which way this goes. I give you guys the history of it. Scott knows the history of it. And we don't want to cause any hard feelings out there. And I'm not going to, you know.
But you guys been talking to John O'Dell and Muffs and Bailey's and all the people out there? I mean,
Terry Muff called me and he wanted this to be known, who the owners were in the past and how it, that parcel of ground had changed hands.
Yeah.
And that the ownership of that road has always been accessed by those people. So how can we not say, now, how can one person come in there and say that that's my road, you can't use it?
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah.
So and that's kind of what's happening.
And that's exactly what's happening. And I have no stake in the game because if it's denied access, I can come in off of First Avenue and farm that parcel of property. But it's always been accessed that way. So it just makes sense in the, you know, that it's accessed that way in the future.
Okay.
But
and the county always been maintained that road.
Yes.
For years and years.
Fred, how many years do you believe that you know?
I personally know of 16 years. And the state statute is
72-221.01.
72 what? 72-221.01. And basically, if you want me to read the whole thing, I will. But basically, it says if the county takes care of any part of a road, whether it's meandering or it's on a section line for over 10 years, the right of way becomes the county since we've taken care of it
right.
Over 10 years. And like I say, personally, I know 16 years. I've been told it's much, much longer. Documentation, I do not exactly have a piece of paper that shows that the county
right.
has. Dick probably could add a little to this. He knows.
I started in 1979, and I know the road up there real well because I've been up there maintaining it.
Yourselves.
And I took gravel up on that road.
Yeah. But like I said,
you going in and you had to back out.
It's well been over 10 years, and that's all the state statute asked for.
And we got to clarify, it's not a long section of road. If anybody has not been up there.
No.
It can't be, what, maybe three blocks, maybe?
Three blocks, and there's also a mailbox. John O'Dell's mailbox is at the north end of that road.
That's right.
So
it has been mail route also, mm-hmm. as Mr. Boskay said.
Because I can about since 1979 on it. I
sure.
can.
So with the Rick information that he just gave us to all of us here, what the board wants to do it? I mean, what do you think, Billy and Rick?
So we need to go back.
Well, then we need to go
Resend
back.
Resend the motion.
Resend the motion.
And rename it North.
Can I read that?
Yes.
Rescind the motions in March 2nd, 2015, Board of Commissioners meeting to rename the North Spurs, currently named Dixon Path, to change O'Dell's Drive for Mr. O'Dell approval, and the rest of Dixon Path will remain the same. So that's how we want to do it?
Okay. Mm-hmm. Sounds good.
Kim, is that so?
Is that okay, Kim, or what are you...
as far as rescinding the motion?
Right.
Yeah.
That'll take care of it?
Well, you've got to...
Yeah.
I'll move to rescind that motion of March 2nd.
Okay. Then I'll rescind my second on that motion.
Okay. So it's been rescinded by both of them. So call roll, please.
Dick?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Now, take an action to resolve the duplicate address in Dixon Path.
So now we need to just simply rename it.
Rename it North Dixon Path.
That seemed like the simplest way to do it.
Simplest way to do it.
And again, I'd make that motion to rename that portion of Dixon Path North Dixon Path.
And I will second that.
Moved by Commissioner Rohde and seconded by Commissioner McNair to rename the Dixon Path. Call roll, please.
Bill?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Scott?
Abstain.
Rick?
Abstain.
Dick?
Yes.
Motion carried. 3 of those. Under item B, approve and correspondence by writing the affected residents to clarify the use of the county road spur north of Dixon Path. Okay, this is to clarify the correspondence.
Is that something Joel will do, I guess?
Either that or Kim.
Well,
yeah. But I don't even need to do it.
But I think we need a motion.
We really don't need to clarify it now that we've passed it as. Or do we, Kim? Do we need to clarify it in writing to those residents?
I think according to Joan, when I'm visiting with her, you know, we need to send them a letter. I mean, that's what he's suggesting.
So
he can tell us.
Will John's address change then, obviously, because he's
he'll
in the mailbox
to,
there?
Yeah.
He'll notify his
we'll
post office and.
This is.
His new address will be
right.
North Dixon Path.
Right.
Instead of just Dixon Path, he'll have to put an N in front of Dixon.
Is that okay?
Actually, I don't know what information Joan has, and all the information Fred has, I don't have other than a couple of sentences. So
you got that statute?
If you're wanting me to do the letter, I need more information.
Sure, let's hand this statute around the camp.
More than that, I need addresses, people.
Now, who are you going to notify?
Can Fred get you that information?
Whoever can.
No, I'll get that
copy. No, Kim wants an a name for John O'Dell and
new addresses.
I guess Tammy Bailey. They need to be notified that theirs is going to remain 423.
Yeah.
And then
that might be up to the LAC. What they're going to do, I don't know.
Actually, this is the next item on the agenda, as far as so I can wait till then. I wouldn't make a motion on renaming, but as far as Tammy Bailey goes, until I talk to them.
We weren't.
Yeah, you're not talking about that right now, right? You're just talking.
Well, we're not going to rename. Tammy Bailey's going to be Dixon Path 423 Dixon Path. John's the only one that's going to be changing.
Yeah.
So
basically, just the Muffs, the O'Dells, Todd, and then Tammy Bailey. Just let them. Just the circle of people out there. Let them know what we've done. Just a letter, and then John will have to notify the post office.
Yeah, but would that be on there?
Then the 911 will change to North Dixon Path for O'Dell, and I think the sheriff would have to take care of that.
You got
to
take care of that.
Yeah. Well, I think since our county attorney don't have enough information and the names and address and everything else for what she wants to do or what we want to do, why don't we just table it for the next meeting, because we got time. By the time she's going to be here with us, and then we can take action that day. Is that okay?
Yeah, but can we go ahead and find out all the people where they live on this road, so when they come in, at least we got that done?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I'm getting at, to have to call it again, you know.
But we've already made the motion,
right,
and it's passed to rename it as North Dixon Path. It's just
the approval of the correspondence. That's what we
and it's done the next meeting.
Meeting. Table for the next
what
meeting.
What do we need from the LAC?
What do we need from LAC?
What? Excuse me.
What do we need from LAC to?
Well, you don't need anything from the LAC. I just need to go in and make sure that the dispatcher changed it in their CAD. That there is a North Dixon Path now, so when that address comes up, they know where that's at. That's all. As far as that, I think the post office needs to be notified. Also,
right. Sure.
Okay.
Thank you.
That's fine. I think we got it. Thank you.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay,
Chris. Well, with that, I don't take care of this situation. we're going to go under miscellaneous. Oh, I'm sorry. I know you say next on the agenda.
Oh, I've got take action to resolve duplicate addressing on Dixon Path, and I think that's probably what you already did.
Oh, yeah?
I thought it was going to come up.
Yeah, no, that was the way.
Here's the issue with this, and when I brought this to you guys before, this was a major concern. Now I've heard that they've sold some of them lots out there for housing on Dixon Path. That would be west of Tammy's place. I don't know how she got this address, first of all. I wasn't doing that then. But we've only got two addresses and about eight lots.
Two addresses on eight
There's
lots.
Only Tammy Bailey's 423. If you go right down the road or get on the GIS on the assessor site, there is another. There's 427. Was it five? Yeah, there's only two more addresses that we can put in between Tammy's house.
With eight lots.
With eight lots.
So, okay, this question I've asked before. How did Tammy ever come up with 423?
I do not know that. That was something, you know, I've been doing that since I've been here, but I think prior to that, Pat did that. And I don't know how Tammy came up with this address, to be honest with you. Because I asked her one time off the record, well, that's the address they gave me. Well, now she's established with that address at the post office and everything else. That's what brought this issue up in the first place.
Right.
So, you know, I talked to Tammy, and I went and talked down to the city and talked to her, and she didn't want to change her address. Well, I think she's going to have to,
I think so.
Because we don't have enough addresses to put in there.
Get six there on answer, but will she be on North Dixon Path then when this is all
done? No, she'll be on Dixon
Path. She's on Dixon Path, okay. Oh, yeah, she'll have to read. I mean, that's...
I don't know how else to fix it, you guys. I don't
get any numbers in there.
If I understand right, that 423 Dixon Path was Ralph and Margaret Muff's address when they lived on that north spur.
Correct.
So evidently, being they didn't have a house there or whatever, they just assigned that to Kurt and Tammy because they live really close.
No, actually, how that came about, I only knew this by talking to Walsh. That particular road there was given access. That's why the mailboxes are on the corner. Because there was complaints about people turning off Dixon Path and access in that trailer park. So they allowed them to move, whose they is, I don't know if it was a previous board or what, but that address of that trailer park was 421 Dixon Path.
Right. That's what's on here.
Yeah, so that was just a given that Tammy got.
Two and then three.
Yes.
She's about 3 miles down.
Yeah.
So it would be on the odd side of Dixon Path. Now, the even side, we're fine. Because there's no houses there yet.
Right.
And this...
Because there is only one corner lot on her side there. So it would have been one, two, three, and then so on back and forth.
That makes, according to this, you can back down to 413, can't you?
Yeah, there's plenty of room. There's numbers.
It's 411.
East of there.
Right.
It's west of there that we're going to have a problem.
Right.
It's going to tie into all them numbers, all on Dixon Path, from A1 to all them folks that live down there.
I think you have to do it.
So do we know what the actual address is for the following house to the west of Tammy's?
Yes. The first address on the mailbox, it's like 8 digits. But there's one lane in there that I don't know. When I look on the county map and stuff, on the plat map, you know what I'm talking about. Because when we were down there, you said we're fine, but I knew there was another lane in there somewhere, and I don't know where that even goes.
413.
417.
Cool.
Well, that's to his road that runs down.
That's the road.
Yeah.
It shows on this
one
right here.
It also heads back to Sponder.
Well, Sponder's address is the address that's posted out there. With his address and Tammy's, you're fine. But there's another address in there on another lane, and I don't think anybody even lives down there. I'm not positive. I'll have to drive down there.
There's a lane that used to go in front of what it was Billy Wilson's at one time, and then Kevin Potts has bought it.
Potts, that's the name.
And that road was just a farm-to-field road.
But it's got a 911 address, so maybe the thing to do is to get a hold of him, because without that address in there, we're okay again. I think we got enough digits for them lots. But it does go down along Sponder's down there by the rivers where he must have.
But that property that is to the east of Dave Cool's lane, that's Blacktop, that goes down there, Dave Cool owns that property.
Okay. So maybe it's a non-issue if we can talk to Dave or whoever owns it. I'll do that if it'll fix this problem. But
well,
I didn't get that far.
The thing of it is, we take an action on this matter I don't know how you escaped it, you know, but we already bought in on to take an action to resolve the duplicate address in Dixon Pad. And who made the motion?
I seconded it.
So what are you now? What do you guys want?
Well, and we did, and at that part,
that's a done deal.
That's a done deal. That part of it, that is fine. Okay. We're good there. We just need to figure out a way to get more addresses down in there. And if Tammy Bailey would move hers up to 421, then we would have.
And then that's going to be the corner lot. That's also parceled out east of Tammy's place.
Okay. So how about if we just named them? I've been in areas right. where they
named
just name instead of giving them a number, just give them a name.
Right.
Dixon Path.
I don't know how our CAD dispatch would go with that, but right. yeah, I mean it's whatever.
Yeah, you got South like, City. You got addresses with Joy Court. You know.
Yeah, I don't know how that all works, Rick. I'm just saying that we've only got two more hectares.
Well, I'm with Bill on this. Why not go 413, 415, 417 till you get up to there? You got all them numbers that you could be using is what I'm getting at.
We get lots, aren't they? I mean, it's big.
You got 13, you got 15, you got 17, and you
Does
got 19.
Does anybody know what John O'Dell
So there's four there. Lots right there. Right
it's called Third Avenue.
Thank you.
That's what we're trying to figure out.
Isn't it Third Avenue? Uh-huh. No, John's back here. He's off that road.
Right.
It's
well, Muff's is 423, so he was 419.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
I don't know. So what don't you please help us out in trying
so
to...
So if John O'Dell is 419 and we start at 419 and then go off of there, that gives us quite a few numbers.
Right.
Well, that's fine.
I tell you what, I'll go in and actually draw a map of our lots right, and the addresses okay. we got. So when you guys bring this back up in the next meeting,
yeah.
I'll have that for you.
Okay. Okay.
That's a good deal. Get that. Yeah. Thank you.
Sounds good.
I get that done. Okay. So with that, we want to move to miscellaneous.
We got a road report ready.
We have a road report. We don't have a see one yet.
Thank you.
Right, Chris?
Yeah.
But I have one.
Thank you.
Can you want one?
Sure.
I know you've been waiting to do this.
Well, I have number two.
I know. So.
March 29th to April 11th. 245 hours of total maintenance, overtime 3 hours, bridge maintenance 35 hours. Two bridges, garbage pickup an hour and a quarter, tons of gravel, 3,013 total tons of aggregate, sign repair 31 and a half, 20 signs, two barricades, road concerns 7. And I've been out of the office part of the day, and we did not get to write down, as you see, where they are at. But they have all been gravel, mostly gravel, a couple of them grading also. I apologize for not getting them down, but frost boil's coming out, and a couple inches of rain, we had some soft spots. Mm-hmm. Been working on them.
So that rain last night was a good rain, huh?
Yes.
Good hard rain.
Roads are kind of shaping up a little bit with the wet weather. Frost boils are kind of a problem. A little bit of corn moving around out there with trucks, so we're all right.
That's what I like to hear.
Friend of the state closed Kenny Baker Bridge again. No, he started. We put up more barricades because he started work on it today.
Oh, okay.
And he is pulling the deck off of it to put them bottom cords on.
Okay.
And we wanted to make sure if somebody was used to driving on it that they would have to stay off because we got, like I say, we got planks pulled off of it right now.
So a couple weeks okay. it'll be open again, probably.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then, of course, then I got to wait for the engineer to come up and inspect it. Hopefully,
Toby, this should be open by fall.
Yeah.
Our next time
I keep getting phone calls.
And something else will deteriorate on it, so then we'll have to do some more work on it by then.
You know, I crossed it the other day and I didn't even notice. Is it 810?
It might go up now to 13 tons, told me. The engineer, if we do the bottom cords, which we are doing, get it fine. Yeah. He set up to 13 tons.
That's our good deal.
But yes, at the last it was 8 ton, and I tried to let them just to keep it 3 ton, to keep it open as mail route, and they would not do that. So, and you guys know the rest of the story.
Now, any more questions? Now, Joan sent me an email, too. He's going to work. There was two bridges. Was the one over at Stone Arc, and then this one is the two bridges that we got closed? Is that the two bridges?
No, the other one is Rosie Bruker Bridge over on 210th Street from the flood last year.
That's right.
The Stone Arch Bridge is still closed. It's been closed for
a
number of years.
I know, but I was just wondering.
NRD is thinking about making a site there, so...
Somebody said they might put a tube in there.
Yeah.
Is that right?
They're talking about putting in a silt dam type of thing.
Right.
For the Pigeon Creek project.
Okay. Sounds good. So I forgot about Rosie Brewer.
Yeah. Thank you, Fred.
Good job, Fred.
Yeah.
Good report. Thank you. Deanna Beckman, Emergency Manager, quarterly reports. Welcome aboard.
Good afternoon.
That's right.
Because I haven't been here for a while.
Sure.
I knew you were going to have a lot to read, so I sent you out a report yesterday, and Cherie, I have a copy for you if you need it. There's a lot on there. Today's been one of those days. I started off at 9:30 with a meeting with a ham radio operator because the state is urging us to work with ham radio operators during disaster. I've been to the nursing home and did a presentation. I have this. I've met with the fire department today, so that was just my day. So I wanted to kind of give you an idea of what I've been covering. I'm involved with a lot of stuff. And then last week at our association conference, they nominated me and voted me in as vice president of our association.
Good deal. Good.
So that will be this year, and then next year I move up to president. So this will be the third time I will be in the presidency of our association since I've been involved with emergency management.
Good for you.
As far as events or stuff going on, we've been fortunate enough, we've only had a couple house fires. We had a contractor a couple weeks ago on the 31st of March cut into a gas line in South Sioux, and we started evacuating people, and Mid-American got there and shut it down pretty quick, but we still had to shut the gas off from B Street to G Street. So we went door to door and told people that the gas would be shut off for the day, and then gas company went back in and purged the lines and relit all the pilot lights. So that went pretty good. I've had several trainings here, got several more trainings coming in. After working with the nursing home today, it was evident that we need to bring some plan writing into the area to help our nursing homes write better emergency plans. So that's something that I will be working with the health department together with bringing plans in. I know we have something coming up on the, I think the 31st of April in Norfolk that we're planning on attending and mentioned it to the nursing home today, so they'll send somebody with us. Currently, this coming week, I don't even remember, to be right truthful with you gentlemen, that's why I have my phone that leaves me everything that I have going on. We did presentation day. Homer Fire is having a drill on the 15th. On Friday, I have to have my third quarter report, and then I put in the third quarter reimbursement, so the county will have money coming back from the state to help cover part, you know, match my grant that pays for my salary and my benefits. So I think we got one, Cherie, I don't remember, what was it, $5,200 last month we got for our second quarter. I didn't write that down, so yeah. We have a mass fatality meeting coming up next week that we'll be meeting with county attorney's office, sheriff's office, and the health department and I. Mass fatality is something that the state's really pushing us to have a plan for in case, well, a perfect example is Flight 232. You know, if something major would happen, we've got to have some kind of plan in order to know what we're going to do and who's going to handle what and our resources that we can use. So Doug Johnson has put a plan together. The sheriff's side and PD and health department and I have been looking at it. Last month we brought in a two-day mass fatality training, which really helped and made sure that we were on the right track of what we were looking at. So we'll be meeting with that. May 4th, we have our severe spotter training that will be at the Homer Fire Hall. On the 6th, our LEPC meeting, and we're going to be doing a tour of the CHS industry, which is great. He reached out to me two weeks ago and talked with me about their safety plan and what they will do with dispatch when they have confined space closing and how that would happen. And then after visiting with him, he said, you know, we'd love you to come and tour. So we're going to be doing that for our local LEPC group on the 6th of May. I will be attending the Center for Preparedness Symposium at Norfolk on the 7th of May. All of you have been notified that we have the rewrite of the hazard mitigation plan this year. So we have that workshop coming up that we'll be hosting here for Dakota County that we really need our elected officials and appointed officials to attend, because it's the money, the decision makers that are going to have to really help guide that along. And then on the 20th, I have a Tri-State Emergency Management Association meeting in Sioux Falls, and then our regional meeting on the 21st. And this is just what I have on my calendar now. I know this morning I had a couple calls that come in that I haven't put on my calendar yet. So I stay very busy.
Plenty of action.
Yes.
Yeah.
One thing that Pat never was able to do because of how busy he was with the LEC was I attend a lot of tri-state stuff, and that's really important. The tri-state stuff is our resources when something would happen, and the state NEMA has begun to understand this because Brian Tuma with NEMA has asked me to host a two-day workshop coming up either the end of April or the first part of May, and one day is he wants to tie in the tri-state people with this so NEMA can get on the same page as we are with the tri-state, because a lot of times our tri-state's going to answer before NEMA will. So as long as we know what our guidance is there, so we can still use our resources as a state, especially if it's a declaration. But two of our fire departments have hazmat contracts signed with Sioux City. So in the process of hazmat with NEMA, I'm supposed to call them first, but because we have these contracts signed, I can let them use them, but I have to still notify the state, and then if it goes outside of the reach of Sioux City Hazmat, that's when we'll pull in the state resource. So the joke for me really is I'm the orphan child of Nebraska because everything is tri-state. My weather is Sioux Falls, Salvation Army and Red Cross is Sioux City, so I'm really not recognized, you know, for a lot of this by the state of Nebraska.
Question, with all what Fred went through with the FEMA people, mm-hmm. I know that we're protesting through NEMA now, is that correct? Have you been involved in any of that?
No, I did not know you were doing a protest. I had no idea, nobody's told me that.
I'm just curious, I didn't know, I didn't hear.
No, and then when I would find out is when NEMA would call and ask me a question, then I would call Fred, but no, I had no idea. I knew Dakota City was, but I did not know you were. On this last one?
Yes.
Okay, and are you... Are you just starting the procedure?
No, we've already sent our appeals in.
Okay, all right. And do you have a date set for when they're going to... Okay, well, you know where I'm at if you need me. And I think Fred knows I would do anything to help him, because my first year here with the winter storms, we kind of had a situation and I got pretty vocal and it ended up turning around. We were completely reevaluated and got me more money than what we started off with during that snowstorm. So... He knows that.
You know, most times two minds are better than one, I guess, if you need help or...
Mm-hmm. He knows. He'll call me.
Yep.
So that is what I've been doing. Do you have any...
The report. Dana Beckman, the Emergency Management Request Board to approval of the purchase of over 5,000 vehicles. Tell a little bit about your situation with your vehicle.
Because of Pat leaving, it's left me a large amount of money in my grant. And instead of turning it back to the state, which would go out to somebody else, I have asked NEMA's approval to purchase a vehicle. What it would be is we go for a state bid with this vehicle. They would you would have to match half of what the bid would be. And they'd allow me to use this grant money to help pay for that vehicle. The only thing they request of us is to write a reason why we feel it needs to be replaced. You and I have talked, Bill. Tony and I have talked.
I saw the fee.
I went to Grand Island 2 weeks ago for the conference. I went and had the oil change. The rear differential is starting to leak. There's a small oil leak underneath it. The windshield needs to be replaced, and it's starting to rust along the bottom. I'm not saying it's not still a good vehicle to drive. It just turned over $114,000. But if we have this opportunity to use grant money to help pay for a vehicle.
I'm assuming that the bidding, the government is like kind of what Chris went through, mm-hmm. same type of thing, get, you know.
A state bid.
Yeah, state bid.
If we would look at a used vehicle, then we'd have to have three quotes for the same type of vehicle to send in. So Randy was actually the one that got me on the state bid website.
But I know that Tony and I talked about it on Saturday, a little bit about it as well. And the first thing that came to my mind was a used vehicle, but then we started talking about the state bid, where I think it just makes the most sense, especially if they're going to. If it'll match, I mean, we got to come up with, you know.
What type of vehicle are you looking for?
A four-door, four-wheel drive truck, I would think.
Four-door, four-wheel drive truck, short box, automatic,
Four-wheel drive.
Four-wheel drive.
Yeah.
So.
The thing of it is, if we don't take advantage of this grant, you know, like she said, this is going to be going next year. If she ever really need a vehicle, you know, we need to come out 100% of the money. So, I mean, that's the thing. We got to think about it. Not necessarily we need to buy a new vehicle for her, but we need to use the money instead of somebody else using it. That's my point. But
yeah, I didn't realize there was grant money that
I didn't have left
over. Well, and I took the advantage of talking to NEMA at state conference 2 weeks ago and said, do I have this capability? When I first asked, she kind of went, and then she said, are you replacing a vehicle? And I said, yes. She said, if you can write up a report, why it's necessary to replace this vehicle, then we probably wouldn't have a problem with it. So,
and if we do that, we could sell yours on our surplus.
Yes, because we did not use grant money to purchase it, so it would be the county's vehicle to use as is.
Yeah.
Did Sausage donate that to you? I mean, to the Kelly?
County, they did. They just gave it to
them.
There's the headache.
Yeah.
The
vehicle. We'll sell it. The vehicle.
Yeah.
Okay. So. What do you guys want to do on this?
Well, I think it's, you know, if we can use the grant money, and then do you have money in your budget to, are we going to have to take that out of the general to match?
Personally, I cannot answer that because of how this turned around, I don't really have a budget this year.
It'll be in the next budget year is where we'll have to budget for it to do the matching funds. So,
but to use this grant, I have to have it done by July 1st.
So it isn't going to be in the next budget.
No.
So we'll have to appropriate funds for it. We'll have to figure out where we need to come up with those funds at. And I suppose we have different options. So, what do you think, Scott?
Yeah, I think it's imperative that we do it. Actually, our vehicle's getting older, and it's obviously looking in issues.
I'll make the motion to.
Do we got to pay for a little up front, real quick?
To be paid for by the county, and then I put in for a reimbursement, and then it comes back to
you.
Just like I do with my wages.
We could get that 0.000 interest.
And then what we'll have to do is we'll have to get a hold of John Tresek or one of those guys and refinance it.
Right. Sure.
So. We need to make a motion for it to expend over $5,000 and to put out to bid, state bid, a vehicle.
Right. Is that your motion?
That'd be my motion. Does that seem to cover everything?
Yeah, sure.
And I actually contacted Sid Dillon.
Kim, is that yay, nay, or?
Well, we've got. On the agenda, I'm just looking at that, requesting approval for purchase of the vehicle. We don't have anything as far as bidding, but.
Well, if it's over $5,000, that would just be a natural.
Could be.
It should be.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that'd be my motion.
And, like, I contacted Sid Dillon last. Randy Hick-Welsh helped me get on state bid page, and I contacted Sid Dillon, and he's supposed to be putting something together for me. And he was hoping to have it to me today, but when I called before lunch, he was delivering pickups. And
Do you read that where you just she can just go out and purchase a vehicle over $5,000? Is that the way you're reading it? Where obviously there's no state bidding stated on the.
I've got approval for purchase of a vehicle, but.
Well,
but it's kind of a no-brainer that you have to, you would go off of state bid because that'll be your lesser of everything.
Right.
And do you need to figure out which area the funds are coming from.
Yes. Okay, well, I'll second that. If nobody already hasn't.
Go ahead.
So I made the motion. Scott seconded it.
The motion is being made to accept the purchase of vehicle for $5,000 with the state bid. And call roll, please.
Tony?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Motion carried. Then again, emergency money request approval for hiring part-time help with the partial funding from grant monies. Explain a little bit about your plans to hire a part-time job and how you want to do it.
What I am looking at is maybe hiring a person 8 hours a week. This year, by November, I have to have the rewrite of the local emergency operation plan, and we have to do the hazard mitigation rewrite. And so I've got a lot of labor there, plus keep up with everything else I'm doing. So just looking at maybe hiring somebody to help me do that, that can do some of the running, can do some of the background check work, and help me work on both plans. Kind of working in consigns with the health department, too, maybe using the same person if she's looking at something, and that way we have all the plans merging together like what we need them to be. So.
See, I talked to Tiffany last Friday, and she was excited, and she was willing to work with Dana, and they said they can put this thing together, and they can make it work, and if we approve of this, you know, so...
Well, in my 8 hours, half of that would be met by this grant money I have,
right.
And then half would be met by you guys. So, you know, you're looking at, and, you know, I haven't even really put much thought into wage or anything, but it was just a thought that I wanted
did
to bring.
Did the grant money come from you, grant, or from...
From my grant. It'll come from my grant.
Okay.
Half of it will.
Half of it for the part-time, yes.
Okay, you have no...
I have not done anything with it because I wanted to bring it here first.
One day a week.
Okay.
Big job. You want to apply for Dick?
You any time on your hands, Dick? You in?
You want the job?
I don't want the job. I just want to know where this money was coming from.
Yeah, my grant.
That's all I wanted to know.
Yeah, that's fine. Dick.
Oh, we thought you said you wanted the job. I'm sorry. No, I don't hear very well.
Chris is going to take over. Okay.
So, what do you guys think? What do you want to do? Not big, you see,
I would move to allow her to maybe go ahead and get the process going and come back to us with some dollars.
Okay.
Right.
Maybe advertise at that time. We'll see what you need to have for the hourly rate.
Okay.
Of course, there'll be no
there's no benefits or anything. It's just going to be...
But I'd put something together for us if we could, then come back and we'll advertise at that time.
The thing is everybody, it just seems like it must be in the water. Everybody's needing a part-time or full-time to split people.
Well, you know, for me, though, guys, not having anybody else in emergency management, I don't leave town. You know, if I leave town and something happens, I'm back in town.
Well, I'm thinking the same person that's helping you once a week, one day a week, could still help out during a crisis.
Yes, absolutely. You can get them trained to what we need to do.
I don't think we want to limit it. I mean... Don't limit it to that, because if you do need somebody in an emergency, then you have somebody.
I think it'd be awesome to be a one-man band, though.
Oh, I keep very busy.
It probably has its perks, I would think. Advantages, disadvantages. But, well, listen, yeah, good. Well, thank you. And
I can put you to work, Scott.
What's that?
You can do my running for me and go out there and check.
I run a couple things here and there. But is everything going well, though?
Absolutely.
Are you glad with the transition of...
Yeah. I enjoy my job. I love what I do.
You really never changed. I know that you're in the LEC yet. I haven't seen your office. I've heard a lot about it. It's like the Taj Mahal type thing, I heard. But anyways, yeah, everything's
going well. I can work out of my pickup if I need to.
Right.
So.
Yes.
No. Any questions?
No, thanks for coming.
Do we need an action to hire this? So
I'd make that motion.
You make the motion?
Yeah.
I need a second.
Second.
Moved by Commissioner Rudy and second by Rudy.
Thank you.
Lowe. Roll call, please.
Scott?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Okay, thanks. Right,
thank you, Dan.
Thank you.
Bruce. Ask Commissioner Gomez to recess for.
No, I'm fine. I'm fine. Real quick here. For now, yeah.
We do it all the time.
Approved correspondence for the Senator Bloomfield support LB 610 new funding for the county roads and bridges by increasing the fixed fuel tax phase for over 4 years. All we need is to prove the correspondence that we sent to him. We need a motion to.
So moved.
I'll second it.
Move and second it. For all, please.
Rick?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Bill?
No.
For real?
Is that this week?
Okay. Tony?
Yes.
Scott?
Didn't you already ask me? Yes.
No.
Okay, sorry.
Motion carried.
Fuels.
I got emotional.
You got very emotional. Yeah, you got me emotional.
Motion carried. We should take the quarterly, jail tour, but Terry's got something going on, so he told me that if we can postpone to the next meeting, because we're still in April, and I said, yes, no problem. So we're going to do the jail tour next meeting. So with that, commission and committee reports.
I got a few. Today I met with the legislation people lunching at the Hy-Vee, and that Iowa DOT was there. Pretty amazing. They showed the map. They printed the map up, and they have the live, you know, cameras downtown. And at any point in time, you can get on that website. That's like Iowa. I wrote down somewhere Iowa DOT/I-29, and it shows you the traffic patterns. If it's hot, you know, if it's heavy and slow, and this and that. Well, basically, they showed. They said they got to 2018 to get all these phases done from Sergeant Bluff on up. Right now, the phase that they're doing is in Sergeant Bluff, the two bridges. If you notice this weekend, it goes from as you're heading south, you got to go into the north lane, and it's going to be that way until you replace two bridges. I think it's like $10 million till Thanksgiving, and then they're going to start on the Floyd Bridge, right where Floyd is, where John Morrell was. They're going to start on them this year as well. So, what's amazing is when you get off on Floyd, when you get off the interstate onto Floyd, they're, you know, that's all going to be changed around. I mean, that's not going to be. I mean, it's going to be. They're moving all that over, so all those businesses down there, they're all going to be gone. It was kind of neat to see the map.
Yeah.
But you know, that there is like $39 million to do this year. They said by the time they're done, it's going to be $400 million. And they said they've been pretty much on target for 2018. And it was just interesting to kind of listen to them. Now the gas tax that Iowa passed, they were trying to go from Correctionville. Or Mobile to Correctionville, and they had it all on hold. And as soon as that gas tax passed, they all got back into session and started talking in the committees, and so that's a go as well. So there's a lot of things going on in this area,
sure.
in this corner of Iowa over there. So, and then of course the big bridges will come. They got another one going to happen this year too. They said for 2 or 3 months, as you go across the bridge, okay, from South Sioux over to Sioux City. The northbound lane that takes you, if you want to go northbound, for 2 months they're going to have a detour that goes down to Hard Rock and then jar back to the east and then come back in front of Tyson and then go down Triview to, what's that restaurant right there? The Horizon.
All traffic?
All traffic. That's heading north.
Wow.
Yeah. So they're going to have some congestion.
Semis and everything.
Yeah.
Holy smokes.
Yeah, they're going to have some congestion. And, of course, you know, a lot of concerns were about the lights because a lot of those lights are really close. You know, so what? I mean, how are they going to time those lights? And I'm sure they'll figure it out, but there's going to be a lot of right-hand turning until you get to Triview, and then you have to jump on the interstate. They said at least 2 months.
So if you want to go north, that's the way you're going to go.
Yep.
Out of South Sioux. But if you're on the interstate headed north.
But the other thing you got to remember, and he said, well, a lot of people from South Sioux will probably take over the bypass, you know, that way. But then you got the other distraction. So, you know, just like he said, and it's like we heard last year on the Avenue, and then they had the Avenue project, and everybody got their detour down. Then they had another project, you know, like the bypass. It's all good. It's going to be great when it's done.
Right,
but that configuration down there downtown is really going to be awesome when it's done. But
all those problems are going to be a headache for a while. But
yeah, yeah, it's a short-term headache for long-term benefit, without a doubt.
No doubt.
But yeah, it was rather interesting to listen to.
Any other meeting, Scott? I know you went to.
Rick and I and Joan met on Friday morning for a few hours and kind of a preliminary talking about budgets. I know here coming up at the end of May, we're going to be doing some our hearings again with all the department heads. So we talked for a few hours and looked over some things. Things are pretty much in line so far. What else? Yeah, I forget something there.
I want to go back to the roads. Scott and I, we went to Jackson and met with them, and they're doing an overlay that's going to go through Jackson, and it virtually what the overlay is going to do is do away with all the curbs and stuff in Jackson. Senator Bloomfield was there, and it was Kevin from the DOT was there, and we told him that we give him our view of the project, and he's going to take it back, and it could postpone it. Maybe they're going to have to redo it, grind it all out, replace a bunch of curbs because in Jackson, the sidewalk is right along the curb. And the trucks and stuff, being the curb is going to disappear, would park on the sidewalk, you know. And so there, I think it possibly could go back to the drawing board. We're not sure.
Well, and that's what we asked them. You know, in Jackson, they put together quite the little presentation. I mean, they have all the way down, they have pictures, they had a traffic study on Highway 20, and as of 2012, there's 5,685 total traffic and 935 were semis. Okay? And so then they went through the surrounding communities with pavement sections through Main Street, and they kind of just laid out like Laurel. You know, they have asphalt overlays filled with gutter. They had Plain View concrete painted through the whole city, Hubbard concrete pavement with asphalt shoulders, Wakefield, Wayne, Pender, Decatur. They went to Crofton, to Winnebago, and if you look at all them that are really curbed in that either concrete, Laurel had 1,800 total traffic count, Plainview was 2,305, Hubbard was 3,560, Wakefield 3,535, Wayne 4,500 roughly, Pender 2,400, Decatur 1,100, Winnebago 4,000, Crofton 1,200, and Jackson 5,700. So just by looking at that, you know, I'm just, the first thing I asked, like, I don't know how you can deny this.
Right.
You know, and again, it ain't nothing that, you know, we say on a regular basis that money can't take care of.
Yeah. And Leonard Gill was there, and he stated that there's over 200 trucks go through there a day, just to the landfill.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they four-laned it all the way to Jackson. Why would you four-lane it and two-lane it in Jackson? And just... And Scott and I talked that, you know, eventually that it's got to be a bypass. I don't know which way they'd go. But
you'd wipe out the whole town if you did a four-laner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
and of course, immediately the state guy, and he was a nice guy. I mean, it was kind of fun to sit on the other side of the table, believe it or not. Kind of enjoyed it a little bit. But he's talking about everybody parking on the curbs or on the sidewalks. Well, there's no curbs in the whole town. So when you pull off, obviously, you know, you get all the traffic. I told Margie, who I said, this whole town is wheelchair accessible here.
Margie Ron.
Yeah, Margie Ron. Yeah, Margie. Because you don't need, there's no curbs. But last time they did it, they ground down an inch and 3/8. And that's what another thing that they outlined here was exactly when all the projects took place last. They really had their ducks in a row, if I can find it here, but back in 2011, they thought it would last 5 to 6 years. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
They milled an inch and 3/8 on a state highway, okay, and replaced it with an inch of 3/8 hot mix is what they did. And they thought at that time 4 to 5 years. Well, it needs to be replaced now. You know, and they're talking, this goes on to, what, 20?
And their projections is that this will last for 15 years, and there's no way.
With the traffic that's on the highway, there is no way.
Well, and the growth and the numbers they've got, you know, and I pointed it out to them. I says, your numbers are wrong. I says, you got CF Industries going out here, and that's going to create more truck traffic. You're going to have more, you know, more people here. We've got, you know, they didn't know about the possibility of us getting a dairy in that's going to employ probably 50 to 74 or 5 more people, you know.
this community's kind of booming around here.
It is. It is.
So.
Any more reports, Scott?
You guys probably understand, but 2008, that's when they completed that 4 lanes. It's been that long already. Mm-hmm. 2008. Yep. There was something else, but I can't remember right now.
I didn't know if we should write the state a letter that we were in support of Jackson and
the commissioners and stuff.
Right. We need to put it on the next agenda. We talked to Joan about this, but this is something to think about.
Talk to Joan and
get it on the next agenda to write a support letter for Jackson.
Yeah, that'd be a good idea.
They definitely have a legitimate complaint.
Mm-hmm.
They really do.
Good, good. If you guys went to those meetings, because that's very, very informative. Any more commissioner reports?
Scott and I went out Saturday, and we picked up garbage, didn't we, Scott?
No, we had fun.
It was a hoot. I never... Sally was there. She can vouch for us being there.
I didn't see you there, Rick.
9 o'clock.
No, I didn't either. You were at the other end. Oh. Tony and I started off, and the first thing I'm calling Rick, and Rick is going right to his voicemail, and I'm like, he had a heart Friday night. The first thing I thought. Then all of a sudden, there I see
him. He was there, huh?
He was there. Oh, man. He was picked up. We started out on 29th Street and headed north, and we got to the Walmart and College Way intersection at noon.
And we met. We started on the avenue, our crew did, the mayor and Kelly Flynn and Tony and I, and then we met right about in front of... Wendy's. So it took us almost 3 hours to go from the avenue to Wendy's.
And in that stretch, we picked up $30, roughly.
25
money?
To 30. Oh, I know. We got 17. Yeah.
Yeah. Just found a couple of gift cards.
In the
A couple of gift cards. We found some paraphernalia.
We didn't find nothing.
Water bong. Anyway. Social Security card. Yeah, it was interesting just to see, and it was pathetic, but it was really well organized.
You know,
it went well.
The bypass looking good, nice and clean. I was out yesterday. I mean, it really looked.
The thing is, you could do that every week or even by month. I mean, you could go out there because the center was on the other side. I don't know when the last time. Don't they put them on every now and then, Sally? Probably more than what we know.
Yeah. Exactly. More than what you know, and a lot of people are doing it. It's sporadic. It needs to be scheduled. Yeah, if you would get it twice a month, about every 2 weeks, it'd be.
Well, we started at Attica. And we went up to the bypass.
Well, maybe if we get this plastic bags going on, we can talk about hire somebody on a full-time basis, to do something like that. I mean, between the county and the city or whatever, but it's something we can
do. I had my muck boots on clear up here, and they were about this far from going over.
Really?
Oh, yeah. A lot of water. Any more reports?
Rick and I met with Todd Poles and Hugh Derry. Coming in.
Oh, okay.
Last Thursday. Yeah, a week ago Thursday. Mm-hmm. Hey, he's going to be a good neighbor.
Really?
Yeah, I'm pretty impressed with him.
He's a nice guy, isn't he?
He is. He's pretty upfront and tells you the way it is. And it's going to be a good addition to Dakota County.
That's great. We can use that revenue here. If there is any more community reports, public comments. Anybody from public have any comments to make?
Yeah.
Okay, so.
Hey, Sean.
I got to get you rested.
I talk to you.
Hang on.
Okay. I would be remiss if I didn't come to say a personal thank you to all the commissioners that came out Saturday and helped with the cleanup. First of all, I don't think until you get up there close and personal, you can really understand the scope of the problem, and I don't think there's anything that brings it home quite like discovering Diaper Alley.
Oh, yeah.
And second, I want to thank you for coming out to work. I think we had 52 people out there. We worked a few hours, and I think what we accomplished was phenomenal. And so I really thank you for your work. And I think we had a good time.
Oh, yeah, I did.
Yeah.
I think
I did. I had a good time.
Next time, Don has to come, though.
We had a couple of Hispanic boys working with us, and from 29th Street about where across from that dentist office up to Walgreens, we found 5 to 10 diapers. Oh. So anyway, they had rubber gloves on, and I would say, another gold mine. And I'd hold the sack open.
Yeah, and they were kind of slowing down until we found the $10. And, man, then they were right out there.
They didn't pay it anymore, huh?
Well, there were two Indian kids, a boy and a girl. And they were walking along, and they were right ahead of me. And I said, ain't this fun? And she said, we don't do this now to Winnebago.
Sometimes they do. They did have
fine,
a good fun.
But they picked up. They worked and worked and worked.
And we had fun, didn't we?
It was fun.
It was.
Yeah.
There were some people there from Sioux City. Did you talk about them? Because there was a family some natives, and they says, we're doing ours in Sioux City next week, so make sure you guys come over and help us. But it was a family.
Hmm.
They just showed up to help out. It was kind of nice.
Good. Well, you know, Walmart had their coats on. Me and Sally were there at the time, and that was a no-no. You know.
Yeah, and actually that gave us a new idea, and we'll probably be coming back to you. And I've already talked to Lori Warner. I think we can get this done. For any group that wants to come out on a regular basis, I'd like to figure out a way that we can stake them to safety vests and let them put their own logo on the back. That's the least we can do. So it's on the to-do list. Third, I would like to thank you for your leadership. I don't think we ever want to give the impression that we are too big, too busy, or too important to do the things that we ask other people to do. So thanks for putting boots on the ground. It was huge.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any more people from the public who want to make any comments about the commissioner's meeting? Yes. Comments, and state your name at the podium, please, for records.
My name is Roy Tramp. I live at Mills Beach area.
What's your name?
Roy Tramp. And I just wanted to keep you guys updated on what's going on with the railroad. Well, throughout the winter, they were decent. They cleared the line. But the last February, March and that, every time a train comes in to load, it's a half an hour. It's blocked for half an hour. Every time it goes out, it's half an hour. They're usually in like a day or so. But what I had the problems with, I've had to call 911 three times here the last couple of months. They come up middle, like one was like Sunday morning, 6:10. They park the train in the middle of it, and then that's it. They leave it. It sits there. So it sits there for an hour and 10 minutes. I called 911. I says, she called the person over there, and they says, well, she don't know what's happened, but she says, you want me to call you back? And I says, no. So I waited another 20 minutes. I called her again. She says, well, I called them again, and they said they're leaving. And I said, well, I was sitting right there. And I said, they're not moving. So it was an hour and 10 minutes. This was Sunday morning. So then last week was two different days. They were sitting. This one was in the middle of the night. I have adoration hours in the middle of the night, and I go to church in the middle of the night. Come home 3:30, and my wife's having major medical problems, so I can't be gone more than 2.5 hours at a time. I got to change her stuff every 2.5 hours. So they're sitting there, and I calls it again. She says, I'll call them. Well, there was no engineer in the train. They were sitting there, and this time was facing west. And there was only about a block, maybe 2 blocks, east of E Avenue is where the end was. I mean, it could have went just a little further, but they were sitting there. So she calls them. She says, well, she says they can't find the engineer. So pretty soon, waited another 15 minutes or so. Pretty soon, this truck comes zipping down the road, and I knew he went probably the next section west. So, you know, and then I hear, that was this last week, a couple weeks ago. So then I hear from a source out by Laurel that Cargill's putting another elevator at Laurel in that area. And there's also going to be another collection area for grain, and it's going to have another train. I mean, and even the ethanol trains are longer than they used to be. They used to be only 30, 40, now they're, I mean, right at 100. So it isn't the trains going through as much as it is they sit on the tracks. I mean, they don't have no place to put them, I think that's the problem. They don't have a place to put them. They just set them there. So We have to have a road. I mean, we just have to. It's not, and this was 5 years ago, I think it was here. And I said, there's nobody going to give you the land. I know, I can guarantee you that nobody will give the land. So I don't know how we do it. I know you can go down sections line. I talked to Fred, and there's the section lines don't go across the lake. You know, it don't. It goes up, you know, our place, east of our place, there's probably close to 100 trees, 70, 80, 90 trees when they were going to put the electric line. And there's a gas line and a water line, which would be under the road. So I don't know how that works. I mean, if you can put a road over that. So I don't know if you can do that. But I know they have a heck of a lot of water line in across the lake. And then the way I look at it, the only way that's would at least bother anybody would be where they put the power lines up the highway and go right along the highway up to Attacad and then come out that way. You'd still have Attacad to, you know, get across. Well, so my nephew is an engineer for the city of Omaha, and he was looking at something, and he saw it where they had the truck wash out over there, go straight across the lake for the truckers. I mean, it's a pain for us. It's a pain for the truckers. I mean, getting in and out of there at certain times of day, it's just next thing to impossible to get on that highway. I mean, at some certain times, it's bumper to bumper, well, this way, and then pretty soon you get cars. It's a major, major problem. You got all these new, supposedly, industries coming in. You got that. That's just a junction right there, that highway. And so we need something different on these road situations. You know what I mean? I don't know what the answer is, but I know I know one thing for sure: the land won't be for nothing. I mean, you won't be able. It's going to have to be. I don't know how you deal with that, but it's major. I mean, even for blocking us in. I mean, you know, you can't drive. You can drive in winter. Sometimes you can drive through the field if it's frozen or dry, but pretty soon it'll be planted. You can't drive through the field. And Larry's got his gate locked, and I used to have a key. Well, he changed his lock, so now you can't get out that way. So you're screwed. I mean, here you are. I mean, you can't get out. You get an appointment, forget it.
I wouldn't like that. That would be a bad day.
It is a bad day.
And seriously,
for an hour and 10 minutes.
And it's common. It's not. They was really good for a long time. We had this meeting. Remember what? 5 years ago, a meeting. It was good. And, you know, they were good. They kept. I don't know why they can't do everything on the west side. There's no houses. There's nothing down there. I mean, but I don't know if they come back. Have you ever been down there? Does their train come back to the main rec track down there, or does it just come in the front?
No, I couldn't tell you.
See, when they come in, they unload three times. They back in, and then they stop. And they go out a little bit and unhook, back in another load. So they have the highway blocked first two times. And the third time, when they back in, then it's still our road is still blocked. So every time I've checked it, it's right at 30 minutes. 28 minutes, 29
minutes. Is that got to be a case where they changed their personnel or something? They know, because 5 years ago when they came in front of us, you know, I mean, the problem was, well, they care of it for a while, wasn't it?
They did good.
I'm wondering if the county couldn't have some signs made that would draw attention to the engineers that crossing is not supposed to be blocked. We wouldn't be able to put them in the railroad right away, but we could put them on our right away.
Right.
Make them big enough so that they can read them and do that. Because the railroad changes engineers like water. You know, right. I mean, there's right. new guys coming on, and old, you know, the old guys are retiring and stuff.
And they probably don't know that there's not another access for people to get out.
It doesn't look like there's nothing going on. I mean, it's just a little dinky road going through.
Right,
you know?
Right.
But it's just, you know, it's becoming serious, so I thought. Well, you know, there's three people out there that are, you know, bad. I mean, they're going to need attention quick.
Mm-hmm.
Susan's one of them. You know, she's the wife's one of them, and the gal down the end. That's the only
one. If there's no engineer around to drive the train, and he's sitting there for, and like he says, hour half. I mean, what? There's fire down there.
Well, and here's what happened.
I mean, it's like, wow.
They'll pull the train up there, and those engineers run out of time.
Right.
Well, they cannot operate a train after their time limit's up. So they have a crew moving van that moves those crews around, and while they're jockeying those people around, they block those crossings.
Right.
And I probably believe that the engineers that were on that train don't know that crossing's not supposed to be blocked. So I'm thinking we need to put some signage up there, maybe have it lighted so that they understand.
That, that particular one was going west. Usually they're usually they're going east when they do that.
It's worth a try. It wouldn't cost us that much to have a sign made and put up there. Would it, Fred? Or
signs are pretty,
you know, big. Draw attention to the engineers and see what we can
do. Can't hurt.
Can we do that legally? I mean, just put our sign on the front.
There's nothing illegal about
right
it.
Well, freedom of
speech.
I mean,
freedom of speech, and you know, put a little sign up there that says, "Hey, would you, courtesy of the people that live in Millis Beach area, would you not block the road for more than 5 minutes at a time or 10 minutes at a time?"
I think it's the Mary's man.
I've had, my family's been a long time railroaders, and I've talked this issue over with them, and it all breaks down to wanting to break those trains. It's easy to break those trains and then rehook them and stuff, and it's all an issue of ambition.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's right. And they can all do it if they just want to. They don't want to do it.
Right.
Why don't we just do like that Rick recommended, you know, have some signs, Fred, I mean, out there and see what happens. I mean, go from there. At least we're trying to do something to alleviate this situation. But I know that 5 years ago I thought we fixed them, but apparently didn't. So.
And I think we also need to have on those signs that, and stated on there that in case of an emergency, you're blocking a 911 area blocking,
right.
You know, and you could something cause death, and then if you cause death, you're liable. They are.
That's right.
If the railroad's blocking and somebody has a heart attack and dies over there because 911 can't get in there.
You're right.
Or emergency vehicles.
Rick, can you and Fred figure out the wording, you know, to put on those signs, you know?
I don't know that I want to be the one that...
Just a word, you know. I mean, just put some... not drawn in any, by any means, but just an idea of what you guys...
I'd like to... I hate to throw it at Kim, but she can probably
word... It's got to be put on the agenda.
Yeah, right. And it's got to be worded correctly, not to put us in a legal situation where they can come back on us or whatever.
Right.
So let's put it on the next agenda.
For the next agenda.
Clear.
Okay.
Thank you. Game plan.
Thank you, Roy. Thank you very much.
Come back to the next meeting.
Go ahead.
Unfortunately, I have a long memory of... The last time this came up, when the railroad people were here, they said, in case of a 911 call, we'll have that train broken in 5 minutes. Obviously, that's not happening. Maybe a letter to the railroad saying, this is what you said, and this is what's happened, might be an order.
So like Rick said, people come and go, and probably the operator where he calls.
Right.
Reminder to them might not hurt.
Yeah. Send them a letter. Yeah. Thank you, Sally. Thank you. Any more? Anybody from the public? Okay.
Anyone?
If it isn't, this meeting will be recessed to April 21st, 2015 at 7 o'clock p.m. at Briar Cliff University, Helen Hall at 1303 Rebecca Street, Sioux City, Iowa, for the purpose of reviewing the documentary Beckett and having discussions regarding the reducing single-use plastic bags. So, we see you at the 21st. The meeting is sold.